The Subcommittee on Justice Appropriations will now come to order. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McBurney.
Here.
Vice Chair Pastodomo.
Here.
Representative Diaz.
Here.
Turner.
Here.
LaRosa.
Here.
Mayfield.
Here.
Metz.
Here.
Moskowitz. Pilon.
Here.
Roussan.
Here.
Schwartz.
Here.
Flossberg. Van Zandt. The quorum is present.
Thank you, Rosa. Good morning, everyone. Just as usual, please make sure all electronic devices are turned off or on silent mode. All presenters and anyone wishing to speak during today's meeting, please complete an appearance card if you've not already done so electronically. Members, we have 7 member bills today. We are not planning to take up House Bill 1305 today. So we'll start off on the first one, which is H.J.R. 7081 by Representative Gates relating to post-conviction capital case procedures. Representative Gates, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, may I explain House Bill 7083 as the implementing bill first?
Without objection, I don't mind taking that out of order. You want to? We'll do 7083 relating to post-conviction capital case proceedings, and you're recognized to explain that bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The death row in the state of Florida currently has 408 residents. And of those 408 people on death row in Florida, 155 have been there longer than 20 years. As a matter of fact, as just an example, the last person that the state of Florida executed went on a vengeful, murderous rampage, killed 9 people, stood up at trial and said, "I committed the murders, I did it, and I'd like to die." And it took 28 years to execute that person. So I think that that's indicative of a blight on our legal system and something we ought to be able to fix by having a more efficient system that protects due process. And so the bill that's before your committee today is the work product of the Criminal Justice Subcommittee, and it does 6 things to have a more efficient and effective death penalty, and I'll run through those with some brevity. The first thing is that the legislation creates the CCRC North. Right now we have CCRCs, which are professional lawyers that just do these capital cases in the middle part of the state and the southern part of the state. But in the northern part of the state, we have a registry system. And I've been persuaded by the comments of Justice Quintero, both when he was on the court and since being off the court, that the quality of those attorneys is not at the level that it ought to be to provide due process in these, the most grave cases, and thus we would establish that CCRC. The second thing that the bill does is it creates tighter time frames for decisions, particularly one of Representative Kerner's concepts that's in the bill is that when there's an appeal of a post-conviction motion, the Supreme Court ought to be able to rule on that appeal within 180 days. Now we sometimes have years pass before we get rulings. The third element of the bill is a requirement that post-conviction motions and death penalty cases be fully pled, and that the successive motions that occur, that they either deal with newly discovered evidence or that there be some reason why those bases for appeal weren't raised in the initial direct appeal or in the original post-conviction motion. The reason that's important is that it is often the case that if there's 6 issues to appeal, litigants will appeal issue number 1 and litigate that for years, and then issue 2 and then issue 3 successively as opposed to all at once, and we can tighten up the process without jeopardizing due process in any way. The fourth element of the bill is reform to the conflict of interest standards of law that deal with conflicts between attorneys and their clients. Now it is too easy for a death row inmate who's litigating their post-conviction case to just say, "Well, I disagree with my attorney. I don't like the color of their tie. I want to get rid of them." And then that launches the process into completely needless delay. So if this bill were to pass, the substantive standard of law would be that someone's rights actually have to be impacted as a result of their dispute with their attorney. The fifth area of reform deals with ineffective assistance of counsel. The most common motions that are, in my view, insincere, frivolous, that don't have bearings on someone's actual innocence are motions that are brought indicating that someone believes that they were not effectively assisted by their attorneys. And what we say is that if there's a determination that an attorney was ineffective in rendering assistance, that attorney then wouldn't be able to walk into the very next room the very next day and pick up the next capital case. That, in fact, if there is that determination, that those folks would not be eligible to litigate these capital cases for a period of 5 years. The sixth and final element of the bill is a reporting requirement. We as the Florida House of Representatives have the constitutional authority to impeach judges who aren't doing their job. And there have been instances in dockets I've reviewed where we ought to have exercised that authority. I'll just share one example. There was an instance where there was a particular judge who just did not like the death penalty. And so this judge had a hearing and then would not issue an order either way for years. There was one instance where it was 6 years. And so the reporting requirement would have the Florida Supreme Court report to the Speaker of the House of Representatives, President of the Senate, and the Governor on all of those cases that are post-conviction cases that have lingered for more than 3 years. That way we can identify those judges and remove those who are just blatantly violating the law and failing to execute on the law. So those are the six elements of the bill, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate you hearing it, and I believe there's an amendment.
There is one amendment, and there's also an amendment to the amendment. Representative Gates, you're recognized to explain the amendment first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the amendment is the articulation of your great generosity by appropriating $417,338 in recurring funds so that we can stand up the CCRC North. That's largely the impact of the amendment, and Representative Kerner has assisted me with an amendment to the amendment.
There is an amendment to the amendment by Representative Kerner. Representative Kerner, you're recognized to explain the amendment to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment to the amendment is pretty basic. It's strike lines 7 through 13 on page 1 of the amendment.
Okay. Do any members have any questions on the amendment to the amendment? Anyone in the audience that wishes to speak to the amendment to the amendment? Is there any debate on the amendment to the amendment? Any objection to the amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment to the amendment passes. We are back on the amendment. Do any members have any questions on the amendment as amended? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak to the amendment as amended? Is there any debate on the amendment? Any objections to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment passes, and we are back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions on the bill as amended? Ranking Member Roussan, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Representative,
thanks.
Can you, I heard you describe one instance of abuse one might allege if it took 28 years to do something to an individual who committed such horrific crimes. But do you have evidence of more than just one example like that?
You're recognized to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the best examples, Representative Roussan, comes from your community. And there's an individual that's set to be executed later next week. And there's an instance where in Pinellas County, there was a 10-year-old little girl who was abducted by someone who had already been in prison for raping a 9-year-old, had been let out of prison, abducted a 10-year-old little girl, drug her out into the orange groves, raped her, slit her throat, and bashed in her skull and left her for dead. This individual never maintained innocence at any point. I mean, was the confessed killer. And it's taken 32 years to bring this person to justice. And it's just amazing to me that the family members have had to endure that process. And again, I mean, I've read these dockets, so I could go over other examples from my community around the state, but suffice it to say that of the 408 people on death row, 155 have been there for longer than 20 years, and the only state in the country that has more folks that have been on death row longer is the state of California, and I think we really can improve this process without sacrificing due process.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you agree that death, whenever it comes, is the most efficient and effective punishment for a horrific crime?
You're recognized to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, of course.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you agree that in a civilized society, hastening death might not be as appropriate as making sure that when you've killed them for the right reason?
Ranking Member, we're getting a little close to debate here, but you are recognized to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And here I would say that the most important thing in our capital punishment system is that we never execute an innocent person. That is absolutely correct. I don't believe that the legislation before you increases that risk in any way. All of us could agree that we don't want to execute the innocent, but I think all of us can also agree that one should not take decades to deliver due process in these cases.
Follow-up?
Last follow-up.
Representative Roussan, you're recognized for a last follow-up question.
It appears to me, and maybe you can clear me up, that the real import of this bill is not justice, but its cost. Would you explain that?
You're recognized to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't believe that the two are mutually exclusive. I do believe that ultimately this legislation will save money. I also believe that it will provide better attorneys to litigate these critically important cases, and I also believe the bill will effectively and efficiently deliver justice in a better way.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the members? And we have public testimony. Steve Metz. Mr. Metz, you are recognized.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The Florida Bar would like to just express the appreciation that we have had since the beginning of the session when Chairman Gates brought this issue to the legislature. He has been a statesman. He has spent so many hours studying this issue, and importantly, he has allowed the courts and experts in this arena to really engage with him. And at the bar, you know, we always very carefully try to protect the rulemaking authority of the court because we think that's important. And we always seem to do better when we're talking to each other and not talking, you know, this way. And Chairman Gates really has done a great job of putting us all together. The court agrees, I believe, I know they believe, with this mutual goal of trying to move these cases along fairly but expeditiously. And there are improvements that can be made to the system. There were substantial improvements that were made because of this legislature 10 years ago when it passed the Death Penalty Reform Act. And although the courts overturned it, they took much of the work of the legislature and incorporated it into the criminal rules of procedure. I think something similar to that is happening now, but instead of having a big constitutional battle, the court has heard loud and clear the concerns the legislature has over these cases. And just a week ago, the Chief Justice formed a special five-person task force of the Criminal Rules Procedure Committee that is going to take all of these issues that Chairman Gates has brought to their attention. And these are five judges that are real experts in these kinds of cases. And they're going to report to the legislature in September of this year. I know Representative Kerner has been very involved in this, and Chairman Gates has been just very, very inclusive. And we're hopeful at the next committee stop, when you see this bill, you will see even a better product that takes out of the bill those things that are procedural in nature and should be more the subject of rulemaking by the court, and leave for you the other substantive issues that are in the bill. So, Chairman, just really wanted to say what a great example this has been, I think, of how when the two branches can talk together and we have a way to do that, I think we end up with a better product. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. And
Ranking Member Roussan, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Now, look, it sounds to me like you walk in a fine line.
Always.
Do you endorse what the representative has done, or do you believe in your professionalism that the five-person task force is best situated to come back with recommendations on how we should address death penalty reform as opposed to this product that's here today?
Mr. Metz, you're recognized to respond.
Thank you. It's not. It is a fine line, but it's not that fine a line. Let me answer it this way. I am confident that this particular bill. Now, remember, there was a proposed constitutional amendment that would take the rulemaking authority away from the court, and Chairman Gates has postponed that, because I believe he wants to give this task force of judges through the rulemaking process to look at his ideas and decide which ones of those can we really do in the court that will help us move these cases along. So as it relates to this particular product in front of you now, I am comfortable that this will be amended so that we'll take out what could be conflicts between procedure in these matters that the court should adopt and those matters that are substantive that the legislature should have control over. I'm confident that product is going to be coming to you. It's just not ready today, but I'm very confident that product is going to come to you, and that Representative Koerner, working with Representative Gates and others, are going to get there. So I wouldn't stand up here and applaud this effort if I didn't think it was really a good bona fide faith effort where the legislature and the courts are recognizing their proper roles and trying to achieve the same goal. I know that's a big winded answer.
Yeah, but we got
Did you? Okay.
All right. Are any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Mount.
Mr. Chairman, am I allowed at all to beg for $2 million for civil legal assistance at all?
Have a seat.
Okay.
You can always beg. All right. Any other public appearances? Any other public testimony? Is there any debate on the bill? Ranking Member Roussan, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I would really hope that Representative Gates, in light of the comments that Mr. Metz has made, the world knows of Mr. Metz's skill and intelligence and knowledge, and I'm not skirting a fine line on that. There's a five-person task force made up of experts and judges who are looking at this, and I think this product is premature. Mr. Metz assumes that it moves past this committee, maybe because he's counted the tea leaves, or we can count them from up here, and it's going to go. But surely it's not the best product at this time. I think anyone reading it would understand that no one questions the intent of the heart of the sponsor of this legislation, and what we're trying to do is balance fairness with expeditiousness, and they're not mutually exclusive, but certainly they can be premature partners. And I think we have such a situation today. And I really would urge the sponsor to agree to TP this bill or do something else with it, as opposed to passing along a defective product. And at some point, we as a committee, Mr. Chair, ought to be able to make that mature decision. I mean, death is the most final point of punishment that we can do as a society. And whether it takes us 2 years to get there, or whether we even spare the cost of trial, which can be expensive, to hasten a punishment is another question for another day. But this, as it stands today, I'm down on this today. I'm not down on your heart, Representative Gates. We all know your passion for this process. But this product, I think Ray Charles could see, that is defective right now, that is not complete right now. Ray Charles.
All right. Any other debate? Representative Koerner, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And as I often say as a freshman Democrat, it's your world, I just live in it, and I'm honored to have been a part of the process. And I can tell you that this effort that Chairman Representative Gates has allowed me to participate in has been a bona fide and good faith effort between the legislature and the judiciary, and that's exactly what Mr. Metz indicated. It's kind of an awkward position that we're in because we're discussing legislation that isn't quite before us yet, but I can tell you I've sat in the room with Representative Gates. I've sat in the room with the other stakeholders, to include judges that have testified before this or prior committees, that there is a need for reform in the death penalty arena. And I listen very closely when the judiciary talks. And in fact, Chairman Gates and I were far apart when we first entered this process. I voted down on the initial amendment dealing with the constitutional changes. But I can tell you that as we move forward, we've included everybody in this process, and I think you'll find that what we come up with, the final product legislatively, is really an effective tool. We have different roles in this process. The courts have rulemaking role, and we have substantive roles. And I think as far as the substantive product that we're going to put forward, it's going to be very effective and also protect the rights of those that have been sentenced to death. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Moskowitz, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do think this deserves I sit on judiciary as well, so this is going to judiciary. So I'm going to be up on this today, and I'm going to listen to the debate as it goes to judiciary and see how that goes, because I respect Representative Roussan's concerns on this bill, but I'm going to be up on it today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Gates, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me say that this reform would have no chance if it wasn't for your commitment to the issue. You've provided recurring revenue at a time when I know there are a lot of people probably behind me that have projects that they would like to have recurring revenue for, but you and I have had many discussions about this, and I know that you are committed to seeing reform, and I'll try to do right by you in that respect. I love Ray Charles, and, you know, if Ray Charles were to classify my product that I brought before the committee today as defective, I would hope that, God rest his soul, he would at least be able to identify one defective piece of the product, not just merely classify it as defective. I think that the product is rich with opportunity to be able to create a more effective system, but we haven't heard any specific concerns today. So I'd urge you to help us along, and hopefully when we hit the floor, we'll really have something we can be proud of.
Representative Gates, having closed on the bill, Rosa, please call the roll on House Bill 7083.
Chair McBurney?
Yes.
Representatives Diaz?
Yes.
Kerner?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Metz? Moskowitz?
Yes.
Casadoma?
Yes.
Filon? Roussan?
Yes. No.
Schwartz?
No.
Schwartz?
No.
Flossberg?
No.
Van Zandt?
Yes.
Okay. And by your vote, House Bill 7083 will be reported favorably. And while you're there, Representative Gates, we now have House Joint Resolution 7081 relating to post-conviction capital case procedures, and you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have really cool news to report on this joint resolution. We always know that constitutional amendments ought to be saved only when they're absolutely necessary. And here's the great news. Largely as a result of the work of Representative Kerner and also Representative Grant, we have an agreement with the judicial branch, and that agreement was codified when the Chief Justice issued an administrative order creating this task force to do the provisions of the bill that are procedural in nature through the court cooperatively, allowing them to take procedure and us to take substance. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask that that we temporarily postpone the joint resolution, because I think we'll be able to do this without a constitutional amendment.
Okay, without objection, the resolution is temporarily postponed. Thank you and congratulations, Representative. All right, next we have, let's see here. Oh, don't see him here. Who we got here? How about I see a Representative Cumbie? Next we have Committee Substitute for House Bill 915 by Representative Cumbie relating to filing false documents against real or personal property. Representative, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. Stevie Wonder could see that we have a problem in this state with false liens. CSHB 915 creates a third-degree felony for those who file fraudulent claims against individuals' property. It provides enhanced punishments for those who target public officers, commit fraud while incarcerated, cause financial harm to an individual, or those who commit multiple times. It provides for civil remedies and the sealing of fraudulent records. Insert provision of the bill into the criminal code. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
All right. There is a strike-all amendment. Representative, you are recognized to explain the strike-all amendment.
The amendment adds specifically line 36, E1, the word local is added into the definition to include local, state, or federal office.
Do any members have any questions on the strike-all amendment? Do we have anyone who wishes to speak on just the strike-all? We have Mike Hathaway. Mr. Hathaway, you are recognized. Okay, you're here for the bill. All right. Any audience wishes to speak on the strike-all amendment? Seeing none, is there any debate on the strike-all? Any objections to the strike-all? Seeing no objections to the strike-all passes. We are back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions on the bill as amended? All right, we do have public testimony. Mike Hathaway, again, on the bill as amended. Waves in support. Any other public testimony? Any debate on the bill? Representative, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Close having been waived. Rosa, please call the roll on Committee Substitute for House Bill 915.
Chair McBurney?
Yes.
Representatives Diaz?
Yes.
Kerner?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Metz? Moskowitz?
Yes.
Pasadoma?
Yes.
Pilon? Roussan? Schwartz?
Yes.
Flossberg?
Yes.
Van Zandt?
Yes.
Okay, and by your vote, Committee Substitute for House Bill 915 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members.
Next, we're going to move to Committee Substitute for House Bill 1379 by Representative Mayfield relating to service of process. Representative, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is an amendment that takes out quite a bit of the controversy that we had last time. If you'd like, I'd like to go ahead and present the amendment first. Okay.
You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Okay. The amendment strikes out lines 117 through 325 and removes lines 21 through 49 from the title. The amendment moves the parts of the bill related to the Banker and Markman Act as well as the sections related to injunctions, and this makes the bill simply a service of process and a distribution of sales of assets.
Do any members have any questions on the amendment? Anyone in the audience that wishes to speak to the amendment? Oh, we do have a question. I'm sorry. Representative Kerner, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mayfield, I'm not asking you to speak on behalf of the representatives in civil justice that voted down on this particular measure, but I'm wondering if you could enlighten us on what the main concerns were since I didn't get to participate in that discussion.
Representative Mayfield, you're recognized to respond.
On doing the strike, all of the taking out the sections of the amendment, is that what you're talking about? You're talking about the amendment or are you talking about the bill itself? Because I think taking out this strike all addressed the issues that were in the previous committee.
You have a follow-up?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
I was just wondering if you could go into a little bit more detail about the substance of what was taken out to address what concerns earlier.
Representative Mayfield, you're recognized to respond.
Thank you. It had to do with the online process of Baker Acts instead of the sheriffs being able to do the online and Baker Acting someone and the ability to do that on the online service. The other was the injunctions in the LLC process on servicing.
Any other questions on the amendment? Right, is there anyone who wishes to speak on the amendment? Is there any debate on the amendment? Any objections to the amendment? Seeing no objection, the amendment passes. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions on the bill as amended?
Let me go over the bill. What the bill does.
Representative, sure.
Thank you.
Without objection, you're recognized.
I think this will clarify some of the questions. The bill simply now just provides a fee for $40 to the charge for each summons that is served. It adds a criminal penalty for the employer who refuses to accommodate services on an employee. Provides the execution and an execution must be accompanied with an affidavit containing statements directing distribution of proceeds of public sales, and it provides immunity to the sheriffs for wrongful levy on distribution of proceeds of sale, and that's what the bill does now.
Okay, are there any questions from the members? All right, seeing none, we do have some public testimony. Captain Charles Brown. Waves in support. Nakia Murray, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Outside, Mr. Chairman.
Waves in support. Is there any other public testimony? All right, seeing none, is there any debate on the bill? All right, seeing no debate, Representative, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave closing.
Those having been waived, Rosa, please call the roll on committee substitute for House Bill 1379.
Chair McBurney?
Yes.
Representatives Diaz?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
LaRosa?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Metz? Moskowitz?
Yes.
Pasadoma?
Yes.
Pilon?
Yes.
Roussan? Schwartz?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Van Zandt?
Yes.
And by your vote, committee substitute for House Bill 1379 will be reported favorably. Congratulations. All right, next we have committee substitute for House Bill 691 by Representative Ahern relating to personal identification theft.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good
You're
morning, members.
You're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, sir. Florida law currently makes it a crime to willfully and without authorization fraudulently use or possess with intent to fraudulently use personal identification information concerning an individual without first obtaining that individual's consent. This bill creates a similar statute, but one that does not require a person to possess personal identification information with fraudulent intent. It specifically makes it unlawful to intentionally or knowingly possess, without authorization, the personal identification information of another person in any form, including but not limited to mail, physical documents, ID cards, information stored in digital form, is a violation of the statute is punishable, and it lists the different misdemeanor if it's four or fewer, and a third-degree felony if it's identification of more than five. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Do any members have any questions on the bill? All right, seeing no questions, there's no amendments to the bill. Anyone in the audience wishes to speak? We have Robert Ura. Sir, you are recognized.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Captain Robert Ura, representing Sheriff David G., the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, and the Florida Sheriff's Association. I'll be brief, but identity theft and identity refund theft, also called tax fraud, is up 2,400% in the country. Florida leads the nation in tax fraud and identity theft. The loss in the Tampa area alone is estimated to be $3 billion a year, and I could bemoan you and depress you with numerous examples. I'll give you two. One is we had a home invasion robbery where an individual was shot several times, and as he was bleeding out, instead of calling an ambulance or the police, he was more concerned about a backpack containing hundreds of names and Social Security cards and personal identifiers that he'd used to commit hundreds of thousands of dollars of tax fraud. So he threw that backpack over a fence and then waited for the police to come. We had another example where a six-year-old came to school during show and tell with a Ziploc baggie full of 52 debit cards and 52 different names where his mother and boyfriend had been working a tax fraud organized scheme to defraud. We were not able to charge the parents because as the law stands now, the mere possession of 52 debit cards is not illegal. We have to show intent. The FBI in Tampa recently conducted a criminal analysis of the threats of investigations in the middle part of the state. And it wasn't robbery and it wasn't homicide, and it wasn't even drugs. The number one threat to investigators in the middle part of the state is identity theft and stolen identity refund fraud. So in closing, we would joyfully support this bill in the Florida Sheriff's Association. If you have any questions, I can answer.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak? Is there any debate on the bill? Representative, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this gives law enforcement the tool that they desperately need to help stop identity theft in Florida. With that, I close.
Close having been made, Rosa, please call the roll on committee substitute for House Bill 691.
Chair McBurney?
Yes.
Representatives Diaz?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
La Rosa?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Metz? Moskowitz?
Yes.
Pasadoma?
Yes.
Pilon?
Yes.
Roussan? Schwartz?
Yes.
Flossberg?
Yes.
Van Zandt?
Yes.
All right. And by your vote, committee substitute for House Bill 691 will be reported favorably.
Thank you, members.
At this time, I'm going to hand the gavel over to Vice Chair Pasadoma.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll call up CS for CS for HB 643 by Representative Peon, relating to clerks of the court. Representative Peon, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this bill before you today is the Clerk of the Court's County Cleanup Bill, which, by way of background, the Senate and the House both passed last year. The bill died on the calendar when time ran out during session. The bill contains all of the provisions from last year's bill. We have added one new section that clarifies how some clerks may appear on electoral ballots, and that was passed through the other committees. This legislation is meant to provide a number of efficiencies to the clerk's offices, and I appreciate your support for that effort and the clerk's effort for bringing this forward. There are three small amendments to conform to the Senate companion bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Peon. Do you want to explain the First Amendment number one?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 1, this amendment deletes the sections of the bill dealing with the indigent determination. That is the amendment.
Do any members have any questions on the amendment? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on Amendment 1? Is there any debate on Amendment number 1? Any objections to Amendment number 1? There being no objection, Amendment 1 passes. You're recognized to explain Amendment 2.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment would allow property appraisers to provide property record cards electronically, if available online, on their websites. That is the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Pilon. Do any members have any questions on the Amendment 2? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on Amendment number 2? Is there any debate on Amendment number 2? Seeing any objections to Amendment number 2? No objections. The amendment passes. Representative Pilon, you're recognized to explain Amendment 3.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the clerks have worked very closely with the public defenders to accommodate their need dealing specifically with juveniles. This amendment would allow public defenders rely often on access to court files in order to represent their clients at juvenile detention hearings. On October 1st, 2013, there will no longer be paper files, and all files will be electronically done. So this allows the public defenders, when they're going forth, particularly first time in front of a judge with a juvenile, and they may be representing them, to have those records just ahead of time for that particular client. And that's the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Pilon. Do any members have any questions on the amendment? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on Amendment number 3? No? Okay. Are there any objections to Amendment number 3? There being none, the amendment passes. So we are back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions on the bill from the members? Is there any public testimony on the bill? We do have one appearance card from Robert Trammell.
Half of the Public Defenders Association.
Any other testimony? Is there any debate on the bill? No debate. Representative Pilon, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Wave close.
Rosa, please call the roll on CS for CS for HB 643.
Chair McBurney?
Yes.
Representatives Diaz?
Yes.
Kerner?
Yes.
La Rosa?
Yes.
Mayfield?
Yes.
Metz? Moskowitz?
Yes.
Casadoma?
Yes.
Pilon?
Yes.
Roussan? Schwartz?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Van Zandt?
Yes.
By your votes, yes for CS for HB 643 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Pilon, and I'll return the gavel back to Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Next, we have committee substitute for House Bill 785 by Representative Eagle relating to restitution for juvenile offenses. Okay, we'll just temporarily. Okay. Well, we'll temporarily postpone that bill, and Vice Chair Pasadomo moves we rise.